The church. Since 33 AD, the local churches have spread the message of Jesus Christ, giving people hope, giving people a new shot at life, giving people the opportunity to experience eternal life. Since 33 AD, the churches have instructed parents on how to raise kids, spouses on how to love each other, friends on how to be true friends to one another. Churches have taught their members right from wrong, have conveyed wisdom. Churches have provided a place for people to be loved and to love. Churches have provided a refuge for people to run when loved ones die or when the roof of life caves in. Churches don't just help people in pain. Churches have helped people celebrate the joys in life. Birth, marriage, anniversaries, graduations, retirement. Local churches have motivated people to stand up against evil and oppression. They serve as a sort of conscience to society. Churches have led the way in providing food and clothing and housing and medical care to under-resourced areas of the world. Hospitals in this country started through churches. You see, the Christian church, when it's operating correctly, is the hope of the world. Churches, when they are operating correctly, and that parenthetical phrase is super important, when the church is operating correctly, provides hope for each one of you and for the world. Churches can be criticized because people are in them. But the church is central to God's plan in the world. Here's the point that I want to make today. And that is that as we talk about the questions that we need to ask ourselves, as we put together the elements that are going to be critical in our marching forward in a way that will be a blessing, it is critical that we understand this, that you need supportive relationships if you're going to make it in life. Let me say that again. You need supportive relationships in your life if you're going to make it. If you're going to make it. From the very beginning, I open the Bible and I start reading. I see that God put Adam in the Garden of Eden. And it was a perfect environment, an absolutely perfect environment. Only God looked at him and said, "It's not good for you to be alone. You're pathetic. You know, I need to give you somebody else." And he created Eve. You see, Adam was created to be in relationship. We were created to be in relationship. That's why Ephesians 1, verse 5 says, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. This gave him great pleasure. That's the next phrase. This gave him great pleasure to give us to one another. When you were born physically, you joined a human family, the human race. But when you're born spiritually, you join God's family. What is God's family? 1 Timothy 3 says this, "I'm writing these things to you so you'll know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth." He says the church is a family. The church is not an institution, not a religious club, not a society, not an organization, not a business. That's not what God desired. God desired that his church would be a family. That's how we're to relate. We are all part of it who know the Lord. Say it again, when you're born physically, you became part of the human race, but you don't become part of the local family until somebody makes a decision to take you home from the hospital. And you can be a part of God's family of believers, but you need a local family where you can give and be given to, receive support. The family is the church of the living God, the Bible says, the support and foundation of the truth. What happens when a building doesn't have a support or foundation? What happens? It collapses. God is saying, you won't make it in the Christian life. You will not make it in your Christian life without a church family. You'll have no support, no foundation. You will not be all that God wants you to be without a church family. It's that important. Forget the church. Focus on Jesus. God doesn't know anything about that. You know, some secular columnist does, but God doesn't. The Bible says this: you belong in God's household with every other Christian. And so, question number four is pivotal. Will I belong? Will I belong? And I'm not saying this. I'm not saying, will I attend? Will I belong to the family of God? Will I belong to a local family of God? Why is that one of the five most important questions that frame your future? Well, the point I want to make is this. The Christian life is not just a matter of believing, but it includes belonging. You see, we oftentimes focus on the believing part, accepting, believing, confessing. But the devoting part of the Christian walk is belonging. You see, following Jesus is not only a matter of believing, but it includes belonging. I've heard people say, well, I love Jesus, but I just don't like the church. That's what the Newsweek article is pouncing on. I can love Jesus, I just hate the church. Well, do you know how the Bible describes the church? The Bible says the church is the body of Christ. Let that sink in a moment. The Bible says the church is the body of Christ. So what people are saying is, I really like you, Jesus. I don't like your body. You know, it's like going out on a date. I really like you. I just don't like your body. That's not going to get you very far. True? The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. And so that's like saying, you know, Bob, you're okay. I just don't like your wife. We can't hang out. You see, the Bible says that Jesus and the church are inexpressingly connected. There is no separation in the Bible from Jesus and the church. He is the head. The church is the body. You can't say, I love the head, I don't like the body. That's ridiculous. There is no separation in the Bible. The Bible says that Christ loved it and died for it. The Bible says that Jesus loved the church and died to redeem the church. People who don't appreciate the church just don't understand the importance of it. They focus on the warts. True? There is no following Christ without being part of his body. Period. Can I say that again? That's countercultural. Wow. There is no following Christ without being a part of his body. Even those in the church become confused. There's a difference between attending a church service and belonging to a church family. Now there's an important thing for you to learn. God doesn't want church to be something you go to. He wants church to be a family that you're part of. And that's what we're trying to form here, is a family. And to do everything we can to maintain family, to enable us to love one another, support one another, encourage one another, laugh at one another. Because that's what it's all about. That's what God designed. Here's the truth from the Word of God, is that belonging frames my future. Belonging to a local church family, belonging frames your future. Well, how is that, Doug? Well, let me open the Word of God and tell you four things the Bible tells us. First of all, it helps me focus on God. When I'm a part of a church family, and I'm here week after week after week after week, it helps me to focus on God. Do you ever find it easy to forget that God is with you all the time? You ever find that difficult? I do. Sometimes I can go along, some time without realizing and remembering. I need to constantly refocus. Do you ever find yourself focusing on trivial issues that really aren't important, and wow, they become big? I need to refocus. And being a part of a church family, being here week after week, helps us to refocus on that which is really important and put into perspective that which isn't. Do you ever find yourself overlooking the important things in life? The Bible says that one of the purposes of the church is to help you refocus. Good. God knew this so well that he put it in the Ten Commandments. Every 7 days, we need to rest and refocus. And the church helps us do that. When we're together, it helps us do that. When we pause for an hour out of our week, it helps us to do that. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 22, you know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Why is this the greatest one? Why does God say, above all things that you do, this one is the most important? Because that's why you were made. That's why you exist. God made you to love you. Why am I on this earth? Because God made you to love you and for you to love him. That's why we're all here. We're all here to be able to engage in a relationship with Jesus Christ. God made you to love, and he wants you to love him back. God knows everything you do, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and yet he still loves you. You're reminded of that. Where? In the church. When we focus on God's word. The purpose of worship is to help you to refocus and to know and to love God. One of the benefits of it is that it reduces a problem in perspective. You know, it shrinks our problems when you compare them to the mighty God that we have. God's in control. I need to hear that. I need to be reminded of this, because I walk around and say, I can handle this. I can do this. You know, well, he can handle it much better than I can if I'll trust him. But you need a church family to be able to be reminded of that, to refocus on God, to build your relationship with him. There's more power in group. You know, people say, well, I can worship on my own. Is that possible? Yes. You know, the salient question is this. Do you? I can worship God out in nature. Do you? Do you? We need each other to be in group worship. Have you ever come to church when you didn't feel like it? And afterward, feel blessed. You ever force yourself to do what you know God wants you to do, and you really aren't into it, but you get blessed anyway? The Bible says God wants us to worship. There is blessing to be had there. You know, a lot of effort goes into worship each week. That's not very evident, but it's true. You know, the focus of the whole worship is, you know, framed, the songs that are picked, the message that's prepared, is all made to help us focus in on something that the Word of God is lifting up for us that week. It helps us focus on God in a systematic and understandable way. It helps us focus on God, the church. The second reason we need a church family, the second reason why it frames our future, is that it helps me face life's problems. Life is difficult. Jesus said that. I think it's the most profound thing he has said in it, is that life is difficult. In this world, you will have troubles. Wow, isn't that true? I mean, today, we could have many of you, prance up here and give testimony to the truth of that, that life is difficult, life is tough. And you know what? Here's the truth, is that God did not make you to focus on problems on your own. God didn't make life so that you could face all your problems alone. God never meant for you to go through life trying to handle life all by yourself. So he's given us a family, a fellowship, and made us members of the body of Christ. He's given us one another so that we face life difficulties, not alone, but together. Do you ever get discouraged? The antidote to discouragement is to get around some encouraging people. And that happens in God's family. That's what he intends, is for that to happen in God's family. It's called fellowship. It's called community. They will lift you up. The Bible says this, Jesus died for us so that we can live together with him. So encourage each other and give each other strength. That's the purpose of us being together. Jesus died for us so that we can live together with him. Why? So encourage each other and give each other strength. The Christian life is not a solo act. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. God doesn't know what that is. God made us to be together. We are to give strength to one another. Just like the old illustration of the campfire. Campfire. And all the coals are burning. Oh, man, they're just a bright orange, yellow. They're just burning so brightly. Take one of those out, set it apart, and watch it. Because slowly, but surely, it will dim, 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 until it's gone. It's black. And that's what happens when you take a Christian out of the church family. It may burn bright for a couple seconds, and it fades, it fades, it fades. God put us together so that we could face life's difficulty together, so that we don't grow cold spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. And I love the way the Living Bible paraphrases this. It says, you should be like one big happy family. I like that. You should be like one big happy family. I think that's more important today than ever because society is so fragmented. There's no sense of community anywhere anymore. You know, my grandparents and even my parents talk about a time, when they knew everybody in the block. They knew all their neighbors. A time when life was so safe in America that nobody locked their doors, let alone have security systems. A time when, they lived very close to all of their family, grandmother, grandfather, uncles, aunts, children. They all lived together. There was that, it's like another world, really? Because today, we don't know our neighbors. Today, most of us don't have all of our relatives in the same area. They're not here in Spokane. Our kids are not even here. It used to be that three or four generations all lived in the same town. Today, relatives are spread out all over the country, if not the world. It's a different age. But with that development, there has been a loss of family, of connectedness. You know, when all of my family live elsewhere, or when most of my family live elsewhere, that sense of family, that needing supportive, encouraging relationships is gone, and the church becomes even more important because the Bible says the church is to be an extended family, a family with one another to encourage one another, and we are to care for each other as a church family, just as a family does, as a family is supposed to, at least. Did you know that there are over 30 commands in the New Testament that cannot be fulfilled alone? You cannot obey them unless you're a part of a local family. You can't do them unless you're part of the family. As a Christian, you not only belong to God, but the Bible says you belong to each other. Thirdly, how does it frame my future? It helps me fortify my faith week by week by week in ways that I don't even recognize. It fortifies my faith. Fortify merely means to strengthen, to reinforce, to develop. You need to have your faith reinforced on a regular basis. If you don't stand for anything, then you fall for anything. The church helps you clarify your values. You can think through, this is what's important, this is what's not, and it solidifies my faith. Hebrews 6:1 says, let's go on and become mature in our understanding as strong Christians ought to be. People often wonder, what's God's will for their life? Well, here's God's will for your life, is that first that you would follow him, but in the meantime, you would also grow up. You would grow up. God wants you to grow up and be spiritually strong. He wants your faith to grow and mature. And that happens in the church family. Can you be old physically and immature spiritually? Amen. You can be old physically and be a spiritual child. God says when we come into a relationship with him, we need to mature. We need to grow up. And we do that by learning, by understanding, by doing, by becoming more like Jesus. And that happens at the feet of the Word of God that, I don't know if you've noticed, we attend to every week. It's what the church is to be about, the business of. What happens when I read the Bible and I don't understand it? Well, you know, that's one of the reasons God gave us the church, is that God gave certain people the role of teaching us, helping us to understand his word. And that would be here, me. And week by week by week, it may not seem like much, but it accumulates. It accumulates. And you, piece by piece, step by step, you understand more, you grow more. Is it not the case? You've got to be daydreaming to not be challenged when we get together and we open God's Word. Challenged to grow, challenged to be more loving, challenged to be forgiving, challenged to take this step in my marriage, challenged to take this step in my workplace, challenged to grow, to change. That's one of the values of the church. It fortifies my faith. God has given each one of us spiritual gifts. He's given each one of us passions. He's given each one of us a unique personality. And God wants us to use those and to refine those so that we grow, we become strong, which leads to our fourth reason why it's so important, how it frames our future, is it helps me fulfill my purpose. It helps me fulfill my purpose. You're not here by accident. God didn't place you on this earth just to take up space, get a job, make money, retire, and then die. He wanted more for you. He wanted more for me. He said life has a purpose, and God wants you to fulfill that so that your life makes a difference. We talked about this some last week. God has made each one of you unique. As I said before, he's given you a spiritual gift. He's given you a passion. He's given you a unique personality that he wants to use to impact the world in a variety of different ways. And it's here in his family that I realize that and I refine that, and it helped me clarify my purpose. You know, here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. It is God himself. It is God himself who has made us, and he's made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that we should spend our lives watching TV. That was his dream for us before we even... I'm going to make Doug, and I just got a dream that he'll sit and watch TV, play video games, be on the internet. That's my dream for him. Fulfilled. No, he made us so that we'd spend our lives in helping others. That was God's dream for us, that we would spend our lives helping others. That's called ministry. We talked about that last week. God wants you to put something into this world, not just take something out of it. A lot of people have a problem with low self-esteem. They feel insignificant, unneeded, unwanted. What's the secret of good self-esteem? It is not get more status. It is not accumulate a lot of things. It is not I need to be popular. It is in helping others, in serving others, in touching others, in making a difference in their lives. This purpose is to discover what God wants me to do and then to go for it. All of a sudden, life makes sense. There is meaning and significance, and it happens in the context of the church. Of course, at the heart of this is the Great Commission. It means that you're to share with other people the good news about Christ. Our purpose in this world is not only to help others. The best way that you can help others is to share Jesus with them. Look at what Paul said in Acts 20. Life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others about the good news of God's kindness and his love. Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves every person that you come into contact with. You've never looked into the eyes of another person that God doesn't love. And there are many people walking around in our world that don't know that. They don't know that they are loved by an eternal God who made them and who has a purpose for them. And an important part of our purpose is to share that. There is no greater accomplishment than to introduce somebody to Jesus. Can you imagine what it would be like getting to heaven and have somebody come up to you and someday say, I'm here because of you. Thank you. Wow. Nothing greater than hearing those words from somebody. Even if it's as insignificant a step as saying to somebody, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you come to church with me? Many of you, if we talk about, you know, sharing Jesus with somebody, break out in a cold sweat. I wouldn't know what to say. And what if they said this? What if they said, I wouldn't know how to respond. I get that. But here's a simple step. Invite them to go to church with you where they can be in an environment where God can touch them. That's so important that people need to be in an environment where the Holy Spirit's working and where they can be touched in a way that goes beyond explanation. But that happens here in the church. You know, there are four benefits of the church family that frame our future. Do you think it's going to frame my future if I focus on God more and more each day? You betcha. Will it frame my future if my faith is fortified and strengthened and I approach life with a strong and abundant faith? You betcha. Do Do you think my life's going to be different in the future if I face life's problems with the power of the support and encouragement of brothers and sisters in the family? You betcha. If you don't become a part of a local church family, where are you going to get this benefit? Where are you going to get it? Nowhere. Where else are you going to get it? The church offers something you can't get anywhere else in the world. Is it flawed? You bet. Is it far from perfect? You bet. But when the church is operating right, oh, it brings blessing and hope and encouragement, and there's nothing better. Nothing better. We could give testimony here. In fact, I got one this week from somebody who went through a trauma, and they just said, this church family is extraordinary. You know, that many people would reject me and reject my family, but this church family embraced me and loved me and encouraged me, and here I am at the end, and it's joy. Testimony of how the power of God works in a church family. And why is that? You know, the church is really a shelter. The family of God is really a shelter. Countless folks give testimony to that. A shelter where I can be strengthened and encouraged and ready to God in the world and to meet the challenges that are there in a way that is a blessing to God and a blessing to others and a blessing to me. Will I belong will form your future. Will I belong? Now, you're sitting here, so that's good. I like that. But in the future, will I belong? When you come into contact with people that say, I can love Jesus without, will I belong will form your future. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the church. I love the dream that you had for the church, Lord, and I love this church. And Lord, as we march into the future, I pray that we would just be maniacal about staying faithful to what you intend the church to be, that we don't fall into being a religion filled with rules and regulations, and no heart, no spirit, no depth, no Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you are the center of this church and our lives. I'm just so thankful for it. Lord, week after week after week after week that we are together, you are forming us, and I thank you for that, Lord. It's in ways that I don't even realize. Sometimes I feel like, you know, this time spent wasn't beneficial at all when your Holy Spirit has been at work, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the loving relationships that you have formed here. I thank you for the depth of our fellowship here, and I pray that you deepen it even further. Lord, what you have given us is a precious shelter, a shelter from all the storms in life, a shelter from the difficulties in life, a shelter from all that would seek to destroy us, and instead we're encouraged and strengthened in the meantime. So, Lord, thank you. And may each one of us be committed to belonging. Belonging to one another. Belonging to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now would you...